Hi everyone, this is Gene Montarastelli, the editor of TappingQ&A.com, and welcome to the December teaching call for the Ruas Center. Tonight what we're going to do is we are going to talk about 10 things that you can do to set yourself up for success with your goals in 2014. So tonight we're just going to run through a number of things that you can do. Some of them are tapping related, some of them are goal setting related. Some of them are just some good general advice that will put you on the right path to ensure as you move forward into next year and as you think about your goals, you do it in an effective way. As always, if you have a question and you have called in, hello callers, all you need to do is press star 2 and you will raise your hand and I will see your hand raised right here on my little dashboard. And if you have joined us tonight on the webcast, as always, in the left-hand column there on the left, you can type your question in and it will come through. As a reminder, the webcast listeners, you're on about an 18-second delay, so when you type something in and you think you're typing it to me in real time, it's about a half a minute behind me, so I will get to them all. So if it feels like I've missed it, I am seeing it, and it is there. Before we jump into kind of going over this, I have, as oftentimes when I have a list of things that we can do, I have a zero thing, a thing that comes before the list. And as you prepare yourself to set yourself up for a good 2014, I think one of the, I guess there's two things to take in mind. The first is December is crazy, and I'm actually going to do a bonus call sometime in the next 2 weeks, I think 2 weeks from Wednesday, for holiday craziness, so we can do some tapping on that. Details will come in the newsletter. But December is just a crazy time. Between the holidays and the end-of-year parties and the recitals and the Christmas pageants and all of the stuff that goes along with it, December is a really hard time for us to take care of ourselves. And I think that because of that, sometimes it sets ourselves up for success when we head towards New Year's resolutions and heading into January, because we are so overspent time-wise and we eat so much junky junk food and we drink more than we normally drink, and we can really put ourselves into a position that by the end of December, we feel really, really blah. And when we're in that really, really blah state, it's hard for us to gain momentum to really start moving forward. So the first kind of pre-piece of advice I have for setting up for a good 2014 is make really good choices in December this year. Just because someone has invited you somewhere doesn't mean you actually have to go. Just because a pageant is happening, just because a choir concert is happening, just because someone is doing a dessert bake-off, it doesn't mean that you have to participate. And you can graciously decline and you can say, you know, I have something else going on that evening. And that something else going on could simply be you sitting with a nice cup of tea, staring out the window, enjoying a winter night. You have permission to do that, and give yourself permission to do that, to make sure that you're making really good choices this month and taking care of yourself. Because if you're not doing that, it's going to be hard to start off on the right foot, because we're just going to be in a purge mode of trying to regain our balance. And that's not a good place to be setting forth on new goals and new strategies. The second thing that I would offer as a zero point before we get into our 10 things that we can do is give yourself permission to know that you don't have to do New Year's resolutions. You don't have to set up 2014 to be the best year ever. I mean, realistically, the years that we have are a tool to help us manage time and communication, and they exist because a big ball of iron is spinning around this ball of flaming plasma in the middle of the universe, and that creates years, and we have made January 1st the beginning of a new year, and it marks time so we move forward. If setting yourself up for success is not the thing where you need to be setting new goals and moving forward in some new bold way, if that's not the best thing for you to be doing this time of year, give yourself permission to not do that and pick a time later in the spring where it makes more sense for you. You know, I have typically done my big planning in the spring because there's this greater sense of renewal and moving forward, where the winter months, I'm approaching more as winter months and letting things go. Not that they're unuseful to use the new year, but know that you don't have to use the new year in that way. Take care of yourself in December. Give yourself permission to know you don't have to make a big deal out of the beginning of the year and creating new goals. So with that being said, here are 10 really simple things that I think you can do that are going to help you to set yourself up to being successful as you move forward, be it the new year or something else. The first thing is, I think it's really important to celebrate when where we've been. And I would encourage you to sit down and I would have you come up with a list of things that you would like to celebrate that you accomplished in the last calendar year. And maybe it's 5 things, maybe it's 7 things, maybe it's 10 things. But sit down and just be really thoughtful and think of all of the things from the past year that need to be celebrated. Oftentimes, and I was actually having a conversation with one of my clients about this today, there's this constant feeling of expansion and moving forward and achieving our goals and becoming more. And that's lovely and it's good that we're moving forward. But sometimes that process really negates or neglects where we've been and where we are right now. So I would really encourage you at some point, maybe it's in December, maybe it's after the first of the year when things have slowed down a little bit, and maybe it's that slow time between Christmas and New Year's Eve, but come up with the things from this past year that you can celebrate. And don't feel like those things have to be massive in terms of the universe, but think of the things that are worth celebrating in your life. I will never forget this email. I received an email from a client, and the email simply said, "I made 2 phone calls today. I can't believe it." And for her, because of the things that we were working on and where she was, that truly was a major celebration. Like, that was a huge step forward that, unprompted, without a deadline, she made 2 phone calls that she needed to make. And that was celebration. And that was an opportunity for her to really move forward in a powerful way. And so give yourself permission and take some time to celebrate the things you've achieved. It's good to recognize that, and it's going to help us have some momentum to move forward, to make good and better choices. The second thing, and you can do this at the same time, or you can do this at another time, and it's slightly different. The second thing I would encourage you to do is come up with a list of things that you are thankful for over the course of the last year. And those are different. The things we celebrate are about the things that we achieved, accomplished, did, became. The things we are thankful for oftentimes are things that have come into our life or things that were present in our life, not necessarily the things we accomplished. And so it gives us the opportunity to reflect in 2 ways on the year, to really see things coming and going, you know, see the things that we want to celebrate and see the things that we're thankful for. And I would encourage you to really sit and resonate with both of these tasks. And like I said, they could be done at once or they could be done separately. They could be done simultaneously where you're working on the 2 lists. But this isn't a homework assignment. I don't want you to dash this off so you can check it off and say, "I did the thing for Gene and I celebrated the year." Take some time and really celebrate that. It might even be something that you want to do with some friends. It would be kind of a fun way to wrap up the year after the craziness of Christmas and before you get to the New Year's. You know, get together with some friends and just make a really nice meal or make some nice cider and just sit around and have a conversation where you're not even necessarily making a list, but you're processing out loud the things that you need to celebrate, the things that you're thankful for. If we leave this year in a moment of doing that, it's going to make it easier to go into the next year on the right foot. It's kind of the antithesis of just the craziness we talked about at the top of the call. The third thing that I would really recommend, and I've done this before, I've done this annually, and I've done this by months, and it's a tool I've talked about in the site before, but I find it really effective. Go through the months of the past year, and as you think about the things that happened, what are the things that you are still carrying with you and yourself emotionally? because there are things that have happened to us that in the moment might have been really profound trauma. When we got a little distance from them, they were still a little traumatic or a little sad or a little heavy, that it felt like we moved on from, that it's really possible that we are still carrying them with us. And what's going to happen is if we keep those around, they're going to create an emotional drag on us. And at least for me, as a Facebook user that's pretty active because of the nature of my work, a really easy way to do that is just to scroll through my old Twitter and Facebook timelines, and I can see all of the things that have been going on for the past year, and I can pay attention to the things that still have a little twinge, a little of emotion, and making a list of those and taking some time and clearing them out. And this is slightly different than the personal peace procedure where you're listing all the horrible things ever, which I can sometimes find a little hard and heavy. What this does instead is it gives us a chance to look at the last year and the things that are going around. And as I say that, what I'm going to do is next Monday on the site, I'm actually going to put a process up for everyone so we can step through that together to give you some structure and some guidance on how to do that in a really specific way. But taking a look at all the things that have happened to us over the course of the last year and the traumas that they have brought with them, and just taking some time for releasing and letting go of those things. Just as important as it is to celebrate and give thanks for the things that have happened in the last year, it's also appropriate to mourn and let go of the things that are heavy upon us. The fourth thing is, and I mentioned this at the beginning, is to give yourself permission not to make any grand proclamations at the beginning of the year. And if you do decide to do something around the beginning of the year, it's 2014 and this year it's a new start, and that's a great thing if that's a useful tool, I would really recommend you not doing it on New Year's Eve or New Year's Day, especially if you have lots of other stuff going on. Because it's really easy to get caught up in the wave of lots of people doing that in an ineffective way. And I have found for me, when it comes to making proclamations and making plans and making commitments for the new year, the place I usually do it is the first weekend after New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. Because then we have gotten through all of the hubbub of the holiday and of the celebration. And in a little more of a clear-eyed way, I find that if I do it then, I like to do it either Saturday or Sunday morning of that weekend. I like to go to a coffee shop somewhere and just really reflect with my journal, my notebook. And I've been, up to this point, and we'll talk about how to do this, I've been mulling the things that I'd like to commit to and the places that I would like to be. But I make that as a more simple, quiet proclamation to myself than having to make it like the big showy thing where everybody shares their New Year's resolutions. I've been at parties where that's happened, and it hasn't necessarily always been a useful thing for me. So I like to move it a little bit away from the celebration of the new year because it kind of all runs together, and it gives me a chance to look at it in a slightly different way. The fifth thing that I think is useful, and this is true for any sort of goal-setting process, is to make it just that, a process. You know, give yourself some time over the course of a number of weeks as you set yourself up to really contemplate and ponder the things that you would like to change. One of my favorite things, last year at Christmas, my friend's 9-year-old daughter showed me her Christmas list. And very boldly at the top of the Christmas list in really big letters were the letters WIP with a box around them. And I found out later that WIP stood for work in progress. And she just wanted me and the world to know and everybody else who saw that list that this list was a work in progress and that we should not mistake it for the final list and for the list of what she wanted. But it was a work in progress and she was still adding to it and tweaking it. I think the same thing is true and really helpful when we're working on our goals and what we'd like to see changed. For me, between now and the first weekend of January, when I really just kind of recommit myself to some things, in clearing stuff out before I do the big process later in the spring, is, you know, I have a piece of paper. It's actually right next to the notes for tonight's call that in my notebook here that I've been jotting and reframing because the last 2 months have been crazy and there's been lots of travel. And so as I refresh and I refocus, it's not going to be something that's going to happen in a single setting. It's something that I'm going to work through a number of times over the course of time. And so when it comes time for you to craft some new set of goals, be it for the first of the year, be it a spring cleaning, or be it any time when it's ready for you to make a clean break, I'd really encourage you to take the time and do it over time and let it mull and let it percolate, because oftentimes we get a sense of what a goal is and we don't realize that it's actually an incomplete thought. And just really making sure that we're creating the space to allow ourselves to do that. So up to this point, you know, we've celebrated and we've given thanks for the last year. We've gone through the things over the course of the last year that we need to clear out. We're giving ourselves permission to not have to make any big, bold brand proclamations on New Year's Eve and New Year's Day and know we have to have it figured out then. And we're going to give ourselves some time to just really craft that list out and figure out what it is. The sixth thing I would encourage you to do, and this is just, for me, has just come from experience, particularly over the course of the last year of being a lot more thoughtful about this, is I would really encourage you to narrow it down to one or two goals. I mean, it's really easy to come up with 10 goals, and maybe you do come up with 10 goals, but with the 10 goals that you write down, you decide that these are the only two goals that I'm going to work on right away. And the reason that I recommend this is our lives are really, really busy. They're just jam-packed. And oftentimes in that really busy, busy, jam-packed sense, trying to fit a lot of things in is just a recipe for failure. I mean, it's one thing for me to decide that I'd like to exercise more, but to say that I'm going to exercise more, I'm going to get up early and I'm going to tap every morning, I'm going to meditate in the evening, I'm going to change my diet to be gluten-free, and I'm going to make sure that I make a stronger effort to connect in my relationships. That's a lot to accomplish in a year, much less to do all of those things and start having them all done in January. And what happens is when we create a set of goals like this, typically we succeed at them or we fail at them. It's not that one of them sticks and the other fall by the wayside, because we get this sense of recognizing this is what I was shooting for and I'm failing. And it becomes this really powerful demotivator in us moving forward and us continuing to take action. And so I would really, really encourage you to limit yourself to two goals that you're going to work on right now. Now, we've seen powerful studies about writing out goals and seeing them and getting them on paper and framing them right. And I'd really encourage you to go to the goal setting part of the website and do that. But to put yourself in a position to recognize that it is going to be difficult to work towards all of them. So by starting small and starting really specific with just two of them, you're going to put yourself in a position where you're going to be much more likely to have success. And what happens with many of the goals is lots of them have habitual actions to them about diet or exercise or phone calls that we're making or how we're seeing ourselves, that those positive things start to become habits and they become less effort. So that when we move on to the next goal, the other one is kind of moving on autopilot and working through it. And it's giving us the opportunity to move forward in a successful way. So narrow it down. The seventh thing I would recommend is I would recommend for the month of January, or starting at the day that you figure out when that is, and it doesn't have to be January 1st, for four straight weeks, for 28 days, I want you to spend 5 minutes a day tapping for your goals. Now, this isn't a separate goal of tapping every single day, but this is a step that you are taking towards one of your goals. You know, if one of your goals is to exercise regularly, tap every single day for that. Now, on the website, if you click on the Get Unstuck button, there's a bunch of really great questions that are going to help you to figure out what you want to tap on each and every day. We're up over 120 tap-along audios on the site. So if you can't think about what you want to tap on, you can go there and every single day to do it. And the way that I would structure yourself to do this is I would get a note card and I would put the 28 days on the note card in rows of seven, four rows of seven. And each day after you've tapped, I would cross it out and I would carry the note card with you. Not just put it in the mirror, but actually carry it with you. So it's a place that it's constantly reminding you it's something that you need to be doing every single day. And this is going to do two things for you. One, as a side consequence, side benefit, it's going to get tapping into your day regularly if you're not doing it. Two, we know the power of tapping, and it's going to help you move yourself to your goal in a much, much, much faster way, because you're going to start getting out of your way emotionally, and you're going to start taking those inspired actions to make the choices you know you want to be taking. So tap every single day, and if you don't know what to tap on, simply use the audios that are on the site, but commit yourself to doing it every single day and make it a non-negotiable. Even if that means you have climbed into bed and it's 11:54 and you want to fall asleep and you haven't done it yet, get yourself out of bed, take those 5 minutes and tap on it, because it's going to ensure that you're moving towards that goal that's going to make you feel better, and it's going to make tapping a habit, which is going to make it a lot easier for you as you continue to move forward. So 28 days, tap on it regularly. I see a hand has been raised. Hello. Yes. What's the question you got?
Gene, I think it's me. This is Bonnie. How are you?
Hi, Bonnie.
Hey, Gene. My question is this. I have until tomorrow morning to get $559 for something that's extremely important, and I didn't pull it off today, and I need to do this, and I wonder if there's a way that you know to use tapping on urgent money kinds of things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. One of the things that I find when it comes to making choices towards something that's really, really urgent is I like to tap on the idea of putting myself into a place of being able to see opportunity and to get really, really creative in order to put myself in a position to make some choices and to make inspired action to what's around me. Because oftentimes when I feel the pressure of time, I get really, really tight and I get really, really uninspired because I'm really, really tight. So you can just tap with me. I can just show you kind of what it looks like really quickly.
Okay.
You know, I give myself permission.
I give myself permission.
To recognize that I'm very creative.
To recognize that I'm very creative.
And can connect to the opportunities around me.
Can connect to opportunities around me.
And when I connect to the opportunities around me.
And when I connect to the opportunities around me.
I easily make the right choice.
I easily make the right choice.
I easily make the right decision.
I easily make the right decision.
And being open to creativity.
And being open to creativity.
And open to inspiration.
And open to inspiration.
Is my natural state.
Is my natural state.
And when I am not in connection with that.
When I'm not in connection with that.
It's because there are blocks that I have put up.
It's because there are blocks that I've put up.
Either consciously or unconsciously.
Either consciously or unconsciously.
And I give myself permission.
And I give myself permission.
To really connect.
To really connect.
To that creative part of myself.
To that creative part of myself.
That sees infinite opportunities around me.
That sees infinite opportunities around me.
To move past the stress.
Move past the stress.
To move past the anxiety.
To move past the anxiety.
To know that it's possible.
To know that it's possible.
Impossible things happen around me all the time.
Impossible things happen around me all the time.
I do impossible things all the time.
Sorry, say that again.
I do seemingly impossible things all the time.
I do seemingly impossible things all the time.
That simply happen out of inspiration.
It simply happen out of inspiration.
And I don't have time to think about how they might be impossible.
And I don't have time to think about how they might be impossible.
And I give myself permission to be the creative being I am.
And I give myself permission to be the creative being I am.
I have solved bigger problems before.
I have solved bigger problems before.
And know that I can solve this problem now.
And know that I can solve this problem now.
Nice deep breath. So how does that feel?
At one point, I actually brought tears to my eyes because I truly believe that that is our natural state.
Yeah.
And it brought tears to my eyes just to get present to connecting, even though I prayed several times today and I meditated. It was something about coming to this connection without a need.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Even though happening on it. I guess that makes sense, right?
Yeah, and that's what it does. Is it just, it, you know, when, with all of these things, you know, when we're working towards any sort of a goal, be it a short-term goal, be it a long-term goal, for me, consistently my work and my job is to simply get out of my own way and to remove those things that I keep putting up in front of me that are in my own way. And be it a long-term goal, we're going to tap a little bit every single day to get ourselves out of the way so we can take a small action. Or a circumstance like this where it's something that's bigger or is more immediate, where we're getting ourselves more out of the way, that's all we're doing. And as you do that over the course of the time, as you figure that out, you might find yourself every 45 to 90 minutes taking 2 minutes and tapping on that and just getting yourself clear again. You know, I don't need to get myself clear forever. I just need to get myself clear and in connection with my creativity long enough to sit here and just sit with that and allow that to happen. And three or four ideas might pop into my head that allow me to take some action. And after I've taken those three or four opportunities, I might not be all the way to my goal. And I get tense and tight again because the deadline is looming. And I go through it. I spend 2 minutes on tapping on that again. And I create enough space. So keep giving yourself permission to know that you don't have to create enough space to achieve your goal right now. You just have to create enough space to take the next step towards that goal. Be the deadline tomorrow at 5 p.m. or the deadline that you've set for next December. We just want to keep creating the space to take another small step moving forward. And those small steps are really much bigger when we add them all up.
Agreed. Thank you very, very much.
Good. Excellent. Good. So you can see how that works, how important it is for us to find our way to do a little tapping. And it's true for all the goals that we're working towards, short term or long term. So find your way to tap every day, or, you know, as in Bonnie's case, maybe it's tapping every couple of hours to keep ourselves present as we're moving toward that. The eighth thing that I would recommend as we're moving towards these goals in a long-term way is I find accountability structures really useful and helpful. And when you are setting your goals, what I would do is I'd encourage you to find a friend or a group of friends, two or three friends, or maybe it's your coach, someone you're working with regularly, and I would set two dates. I would set the date that you share the goal, and I would set the date where you share the progress. Now, maybe this turns into an accountability relationship that extends long-term in lots of ways. But in the short term at the beginning of the year, so say like January 6th, I don't know what day of the week January 6th is, but somewhere at the beginning of the month, find some time on the phone, in person, to take your goals with someone who you're in sync with and on the same page as, and share your goals. And share not only the goals, but share why the goals are important and share what you have thought of as some of the steps that you can take to start moving towards that goal in the short term. So now someone else knows out loud that's there. And I think this is the hard thing about accountability. Oftentimes we say, yes, we'll be accountable to each other. And then we're not following through on our commitment to accountability, which makes it difficult for us to follow through on our commitment to our goals. When you set up the time for the meeting, when you're going to share your goals, make a second date. Sometime a couple of weeks later, 2 weeks later, where you're going to share progress and you're going to give each other an update. So that we're doing it not only to share the goals, but we're also creating the structure where we have to report back how we're doing. So that with it hanging in some capacity over our head, because that's part of what accountability structures do, is we know we have to report to someone and tell them how we're doing. By having that second day out there, what it does is it puts us into a position where it's going to keep us on track, and we are accountable to our accountability structure, because like I said, if we're not accountable to those accountability structures, we're not going to be accountable to the goals. So find someone you're connected with, create a date that you're going to share the goals, and create a date when you're going to check in with each other. And maybe that becomes something that's regular. They become your accountability partner, and every 2 weeks, you just touch base for 5 or 10 minutes to share how things are going, but it'll make it easier for you to move forward. The ninth thing that I would encourage you to do as you work towards goals is I would break them down into sub-goals. And months are a good way to do that because there's a natural structure to it where you schedule on your calendar the first day of the month that you're going to review your goals to see how you're doing. And we've talked about that before, but also chunking the goal down. You know, let's say that my goal is to get into better shape. And one of the things that I want to do to demonstrate that I've gotten into better shape is sometime this summer, I'm going to do a 10K fun run that happens in my community. So instead of moving from not ever moving at all to doing 10K, I might look at the course of the next 6 months and I'm going to set myself benchmarks. So I have micro goals inside of the bigger goal. So by February 1st, I want to be exercising 4 times a week where I'm just getting outside and walking. So I'm just getting into the habit of it, and that's a great step forward. And by March 1st, what I'm doing is I'm actually spending a little of that time running each time. And by April, I'm running the whole time every single time. And May, I'm lengthening the amount of time so that when we get to the middle of June and we're doing our fun run, I can do the 10K. And that's a simple example because distances are something that it's easy for us to ramp up to. But give yourself permission to break the goal down into little bitty chunks, because sometimes the things that we want to transform are so big, it feels so far away, it's going to be difficult for us to get there. And what that does is it gives us the place to see progress as we're moving forward. And that moves on to the 10th thing that we can do. And that's to create a reward structure for yourself when you achieve those monthly goals. You know, it's good to celebrate when we have done good things. And so if you've been working towards something really, really hard, give yourself permission to do something that allows you to celebrate. Now, when we're creating reward structures, it's important that we're creating things that are healthy and useful for us. You know, my reward structure for working out all month, it probably doesn't make a lot of sense for that to be a whole bunch of ice cream, because that's the antithesis of what I've been working towards. But think of the ways that are good to celebrate. And this is something that I would encourage you to do. Have a list of celebrations. I was working with a family, and one of the things that they realized was the only way the family ever celebrated was with food. If someone did something good, they got dessert or they went out to dinner or whatever it was. But every single celebration they had for success was food related, because that was the way the family always celebrated. So what they did as a family is they sat down and they created a list of celebrations. And it was going to the movie and going hiking and playing putt-putt and getting a new book or getting a new movie or getting a new video game. But they came up with what they decided for their family were healthy celebrations for successes, so that when someone in the family achieved something that needed a celebration, they then got to choose the celebration that was appropriate for what was going on. The family kind of broke it down for small celebrations and medium celebrations and big celebrations so that when someone, not just the kid, in the family did something worth celebrating, they then chose something the whole family got to do as a celebration. So for us, even if we're not doing this for the full family, but we're just doing it for ourselves, come up with a list of things that you really love that are a celebration. You know, for me, moving to New York, one of my favorite things to do on the weekend is get on the ferry, take the ferry all the way down the East River, down to the lower part of Manhattan, walk down to the tip of Manhattan, sit in a coffee shop, and just watch the boats come and go. And just give myself permission to not take any work and just take some fun reading with me and just drink a nice coffee and just watch that happen. And I can do that down and back and do the whole thing in a couple of hours. But it's for me, it's a really nice, enjoyable way of celebrating. And by naming it as a type of celebration I like, it's something that happens more often. Wandering around Soho this week, we bumped into this little yogurt place that makes fruit in the bottom yogurt right there in front of you, and it's fresh yogurt, it's fresh cut fruit, and it's really lovely, and it's something that's a little pricey. I wouldn't be eating it every single day, but it was an awesome, healthy little treat. And to have that on my list when things go well, to go, great, I'm going to go over and I'm going to sit in the yogurt place and I'm going to have some yogurt. That's going to be my little celebration. So not only recognizing the moments we have been successful, but having a list to draw from of ways of celebrating is going to make it a lot easier so that when things go well, you're going to choose something that makes you feel really good. Because oftentimes things like food celebrations can be really hollow because we get some sort of high from the food and then there's the crash that comes after, the guilt or whatever, when we're choosing other things that are much more enjoyable for us. It's going to put us in a position where it's going to encourage us to move forward. So 10 things that we can do to put ourselves and set ourselves up for celebration. Like always, I'll stick the audio up later tonight so you can go back and re-listen to all of this if you would like to. But 0, take care of yourself. Make good choices this December. Give yourself permission to say no to parties. Give yourself permission to say no to recitals, to events, to whatever it is, to the extra dessert. You know, people say, oh, it's the holidays, it's important to celebrate. And it is. It's really important that we celebrate, but we need to do it in a way that's actually a celebration, is actually good for us. Most of the people who want to see you over the holidays are going to want to see you in January. And if you set up a time to see them in January, you're going to spend more time with them than the crazy holiday party because they're stressed about the holidays and the million people that are in their home. So give yourself permission not to do the crazy December stuff if you don't want to. So, 10 things we can do. Remember to celebrate the things that we've been through this year. Give thanks for the things that happened this year. 3, take some time and just release and let go any of the traumas or pains or sadnesses that you've carrying with you from the course of this year. Give yourself permission, 4, give yourself permission not to make bold proclamations New Year's Eve. If you're going to choose to use the first of the year as an opportunity to reset and refresh your goals as you are moving forward, that's an awesome and perfect thing. Do it in the way that makes the most sense for you. You know, maybe it's sitting with a couple of friends, maybe it's by yourself, maybe it's on January 4th, maybe it's on March 1st, but do it in a way that makes the most sense for you. Set time aside, 5, to really craft the goals that you want to see have happen. Don't do this willy-nilly. Be thoughtful about it. Give yourself permission to do it over the course of a number of days, a number of sittings. 6, once you've created that goal list, just choose 1 or 2 of them. Start small and simple. Oftentimes, those small, simple goals that are biggish things, if we made a difference in them, they're going to make a huge difference in your life. You know, if that goal is finding a new job, that's going to make a huge difference in your life. If that goal is getting yourself in better shape, that's going to ripple through everything that you do. If it's find your way to just some healthy relationships, the healthier the relationships you have, the better your work life is, the healthier you are. They're going to ripple their way through. So don't try and accomplish everything at once, even if you have a big list. Just choose a couple of them and really focus on them to begin with. Number 7, tap daily. Create a little structure, make a little note card, make sure you're spending 5 minutes every single day, and the goal is not to tap daily. Tapping daily is a tool to help you to achieve one of your two goals. So when you're sitting down to tap, it's not that I'm tapping every day, but I'm tapping every single day in reference to my goals. And again, if you're struggling with finding ways to tap on those things, click on the site, click on the Get Unstuck button, read through the, I think it's 52 questions that are there, maybe it's 49, find the audio that makes the most sense for you. Even if you just tap on one of those a day, it's going to make a huge difference and it's going to move you forward. Number 8, create an accountability structure. Find someone you're going to share your goals with. It's great if they're sharing their goals with you as well. And when you make the date to share your goals, make a second date to make sure that you guys can hold each other accountable to see how progress is going. So put both of those dates on your calendar right away. So it's not like, oh, we'll find time to catch up. Make it happen. Be accountable to that. Number 9, break your goals down into smaller chunks. Maybe they're monthly chunks, maybe they're weekly chunks, maybe they're bi-monthly chunks, but something so that you're not trying to do something all at once, so that you can see yourself working to a natural progress. And number 10, create a list of ways that you can healthily celebrate that actually affirm and encourage your life, so that when you are making progress and you are successful and you are meeting your sub goals, you can go, great, I did exactly what I wanted to do in January. I get to celebrate, pull out the list, and make a really good, healthy choice. It's going to be something that is going to encourage you to keep making progress towards your goals, and it's going to make sure that you're choosing celebrations that are actually life-affirming and good for you, which are also going to give you life, which is going to make it easier for you to make better choices after you do that. So those are the 10 things that I would recommend as we move into the new year. If you have any questions, again, you can just press star 2 to raise your hand or type something in the comment section. As a reminder, we are going to be chatting on December 14th, Saturday, December 14th, for our regular tap-along Q&A call where you can tap on anything that you want. You can always email me those requests. And sometimes in the next 2 weeks, we're also going to do Tapping for Holiday Craziness, where you're going to be able to, just like the regular Q&A and tapping calls, we're going to do it a little more focused on the things that are going on this time of year. I'll have some topics that we'll start out with, but then give you the opportunity to jump in on tap on the things that you want to tap about around the holidays to make sure that this really is a joyful, celebratory time of year. It shouldn't be a burden. It shouldn't be a chore. So I don't see any hands raised. I don't see any questions over in the chat area. For tapping Q&A, this is Gene Montristelli. As always, if there's anything I can do for you, just drop me a note on the website, and I will talk to you guys on the 14th. Have a great night.